we could plunge to the depths of truth and grasp the whole rich story, our souls would rise to God in love, enraptured by His glory. Therefore, think of it carefully. Study it prayerfully. Deep in thy heart may its oracles dwell. Ponder its mystery. Slight not its history. None can e'er love it too fondly or well. We want to turn tonight to the book of Exodus, chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31, and we're also want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Exodus 31 and verse 1, we shall begin our reading. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones, to set them, in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan. And in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and his furniture, and the pure candlestick with all his furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all his furniture, and the laver and his foot, and the cloths for service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we read verse 1. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is a day of salvation. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let us pray. Our Father, we earnestly pray that the words of our mouth and that the meditation of our heart will be acceptable in thy sight. You not only have saved us, but you have called us as workers together with thee. And when we consider that the hands of God move with human fingers, we stand amazed that you would take such unlikely people as us and use us to thy honor and glory. Speak to us in this hour, for Jesus' sake. Amen. The writer to the Hebrews tells us that the tabernacle in the wilderness that these two men that we read about in Exodus chapter 31, which Moses erected, it was a witness of heavenly things. Chapter 8 of Hebrews in verse 5. Moses is instructed, see that you make it according to the pattern that was showed thee in the mount. Now the tabernacle was a building of worship that God desired to have built. Exodus chapter 25 and about verse 9, he said, make me a sanctuary that I may dwell in the midst, in your midst. And this building that was constructed by Moses and these men were used in a mighty way was a place that God would dwell among them. And the tabernacle spoke of the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, if you want to understand the epistle to the Hebrews, if you want to understand the person of Christ and the work of Christ, it is necessary to study the tabernacle and its parts and its meaning. But tonight we want to look at the subject of workers for God, workmen for God. For Paul tells us that we are workers in the building of God. It is not a mistake that God speaks of the church as a building that is being built. And as the old hymn put it, see the vast building, view it rise, the work how grand, the plan how wise, wondrous fabric, power unknown, that rests upon the living stone. And we are resting upon the chief cornerstone, our Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing we notice in Exodus chapter 31 is God's appointment to service. God's method of appointment. The first thing that we notice, it is sovereignly by God. God sovereignly called these two men. Bezalel, he says, I have called by name. Now this is important. In John chapter 10, our Lord speaks of his people as sheep. He says, I call my sheep by name and I lead them out. And he said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. And here we have God say, I have called him by name. Now Bezalel was of the tribe of Judah. Judah was a kingly tribe. Genesis 49 verse 10 says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Now, why do we say that he was called sovereignly by God? Well, in all probability, he was a husband of Miriam. He was the grandson of Hur. And you remember when Moses was on the mountain, holding up his hands while Israel was fighting in the valley under Joshua. Hur stood on one side to stay his hand, and Aaron stood on the other. And in all probability, Bezalel, as tradition has it, was the husband of Miriam. Now, if Moses had selected him, then everybody would have said he's playing favorites. He selected someone from his own family. A mistake that Samuel made, you know, when he put his sons in as judges. You see, but here's a man who is chosen sovereignly by God. But then he says, but I've given with him Aholiab of the tribe of Dan. Isn't that amazing? Dan was the least honorable of the tribes all the way to the north. Dan led the northern tribes of Israel into idolatry. You read about their idolatry already in the book of Judges. And then when their first king came upon the scene, he set up an image in Dan, and he set one up in Bethel, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. So Dan was a leader in idolatry. And you see, it teaches us that God is no respecter of persons. He can choose one from the kingly tribe of Judah, if it pleases him. Or he can choose one from the lowly tribe of Dan. God is no respecter of persons. And what a precious thing it is to stand in front of a mirror and look into it. And to say to yourself, God loves me. Workmen for God, sovereignly called by God. And why were they called? First of all, they were called to devise cunning works, to work in gold, in silver, in brass, in cutting stones, and in wood. God sovereignly called them for this. This teaches us that there's a sunny side to the captivity in Egypt. Not every Israelite was a slave and worked in the brick kilns. Those who were more dexterous with their hands became house and body servants to the Egyptians, and many became tradesmen. We learn that when we study these two men. But not only were they called sovereignly by God, they were fitted suitably by God. Workmen for God, they are fitted suitably by God. God doesn't call a man to preach who can't stand to speak before an audience. He doesn't do that. God doesn't call a man to be a doctor who can't stand the sight of blood. When my wife came out of the operating room and the surgeon came to see us who removed a tumor from her brain, Brother Branch was there. He made the statement to me, he said, this tumor was attached to one of the main blood vessels in her brain. And he said, I had to remove it surgically. If I would have cut into that blood vessel, it would have killed her. Now, I tell you, God equips those whom he calls. God didn't call me to be that kind of a doctor. I told that to Brother Lacey this afternoon, that about this doctor. And of course, he said, boy, I couldn't be a doctor. And I couldn't either. You see, God doesn't call a man to sing who's tone deaf and stone deaf. God didn't call me to sing solos, as anyone who sits near me knows. He didn't call me to sing solos. You see, they are not only sovereignly called by God, they're suitably called by God and equipped by God. But not only do we have God's appointment to service, but we have God's anointing for service. And to me, that's more important. For he says, in this passage, in verse 3, he says, I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. Anointing for service. We are not ready for service, friends, until we have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be filled with the Word of God. They are synonymous. For the parallel passage to Ephesians 5:18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, is in Colossians 3, where it speaks of being filled with the Word, to let the Word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. And then the same verses that you have in Ephesians follow. The filling of the Holy Spirit for divine service. And in the New Testament, the anointing and the empowering of the Spirit of God is implied in the filling of the Spirit. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Our Lord says, tarry at Jerusalem and wait for the promise of the Father. And the same is true in chapter 2, verse 4, and in chapter 4 and verse 8. Now, in our passage, he says in verse 3 of Exodus 31, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge. Wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to invent or originate artistic forms. Oh, when you think of a talent of gold, about 150 pound of gold, and they took that talent of gold, one piece, and they made a candlestick out of it with its knots, its bowls, and its flowers. And it was done by just hammering it out. Well, you talk about wisdom. In wisdom, the ability to originate artistic forms, God said, see that you make it according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. But he said, I've filled him with, not only with wisdom, but I've filled him with understanding. In other words, this is the ability to appreciate some suggestions from others. Can we take advice from others? Or do we know everything? Oh, the ability to take suggestions from others. That's part of the filling of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God is ruling in the heart, when the Word of God is ruling in the heart, the ability to listen to suggestions by others. Then he says, knowledge. I've filled him with knowledge. Knowledge is acquaintance with methods and the processes of art and the dexterity of the hands to use them. My father was a blacksmith, and I've often been amazed ever since. I remember as a boy, I watched him take a piece of steel out of the fire and put it on the anvil and just hit it this way and that way and bend it right into shape the way he wanted it. This is what Aholiab and Bezalel had to do. But not only do we have the filling of the Holy Spirit for service, that's one thing, but we have the fitting of the Holy Spirit for service in our passage. You see, they had to work in different things. And in working in different things, they had to determine priorities. And you and I, if we're going to build for God, we're going to have to determine priorities. They didn't put wood anywhere they wanted to. There was a place for wood. There was a place for silver. There was a place for gold. And you and I are going to have to determine priorities in our lives. There's a place for gold in your life. If we're building for God, the most precious things in the tabernacle were gold. And what does gold stand for? Our contemplation of God. How much time do you give to thinking about God? We are living such busy lives. We don't have time to meditate and to contemplate upon who God is. Do you sit alone and think of His omniscience, His omnipotence, His grace, His glory? Gold, the contemplation of God. Water doesn't rise above its source, friends. To determine priorities. What priority does God get in your life? You know, among the children of Israel, they didn't live anywhere they wanted to. They pitched according to their relationship to the tabernacle. Our lives today are directed not by our relationship to God. Our lives are directed by our relationship to the world. Are we determining priorities? What place does gold have in your life? I don't mean to wear it around your neck. I mean our contemplation of God, who He is and what He has done. A man came to a friend of mine for counseling. And the man's problem is pretty deep. And the counselor said to him, son, we're going to have to get together again. When can you come? He got out his book. And his book was filled. He said, when do you pray? You're so busy doing this and doing that. Have you determined your priorities? I wrote that to a person. About 2 years ago, I got one of those Christmas letters that's an epistle about 15 pages long and told me everything they've done for a year. you know? And I got tired reading the letter, not because it was so long, but because of everything that they did. And I sat down and I wrote them a letter. I said, it's nice to see that you're so occupied with this and with that and with other things. When do you study the Word of God and when do you pray? Determining priorities. There must be a place of gold in our lives. See, the most precious things in the tabernacle were gold. The candlestick was one piece of gold. The mercy seat was one piece of gold with a cherubim of glory on each end. And the place of silver in our lives. Not only gold, but silver. What does silver stand for? Silver stands for the proclamation of redemption. You see, redemption was a price. Silver was used and collected for the price of redemption for the Israelite. Each one had to give a shekel. The poor could give no more or could give no less, and the rich could give no more. And out of that redemption money, they made the sockets of silver upon which the building of God rested. Beloved, that which came between the building of God and the earth, the world, was redemption, silver. And when we think of the fact that we have been redeemed, not with corruptible things of silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, our proclamation of redemption, proclaiming the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The place of silver in our lives. But then there's a place of brass in our lives. And brass in the Bible speaks of the dedication of gifts. The brazen altar. You see, our Lord said, if you bring your gift to the altar, that's where all gifts were placed. And you remember that your brother hath aught against thee. Leave thy gift. First. That's determining priorities. First be reconciled to thy brother. Then offer thy gift. Brass. You see, everything was laid upon the altar. In other words, all things come under the judgment of God. Everything comes under his eye of judgment. And in the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, he has feet of brass. The judgment of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to stand one of these days before the judgment seat of Christ. The place of brass in our lives. The dedication of gifts. And then the place of cutting of stones. Precious stones, our evaluation of souls. The high priest wore a breastplate, and they didn't put the stones in the breastplate anywhere that they desired. See that you make it according to the pattern showed thee in the mountain. And there upon the precious stones were engraven the names of the children of Israel according to their birth. The high priest wore the breastplate, and attached to the breastplate were two woven chains, they're like braided chains, fine pieces of gold. They were golden chains. The Word of God tells us how they made the threads of gold. Remember the book of, in Exodus, how they made the threads of gold? They hammered the gold till it was thin as paper. And then they rolled it up and cut it into threads. You talk about dexterity of hands? Or evaluation of souls? Do I like? And do I pray? Do I love the souls of men? Evaluation of souls. There's nothing more precious that God gives us to rub shoulders with than other people. And the Word of God says, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and he lose his own soul? A number of years ago, when I was working at the trade, I was on a construction job that lasted about a year and a half. And I had a Bible class every day. Every day that I was there. And there were pipe fitters. There were plumbers. Bricklayers. Lathers. Plasterers. You name it, they all were there. God graciously saved a number of people. As a man came there as a pipe fitter, his name was Miller Wogelmuth. There's an English name, isn't it? He's just as German as they come. And he was a very intelligent fellow. But when he came on the job, he couldn't be lower than he was. For he was in a business with a partner out of the will of God. And the partner took all the money. And then he said, and the man died. And then the business had to be sold because the debts were greater than the money that was there. And he sat in the Bible class. He was a saved man. And he could sing tenor too. He had a good voice for singing. But he came to me one day, he said, Phil, I've been working for myself and my own boss for years. He said, God brought me down. I was out of the will of God when I came on this job. He said, but one of the greatest things in my life has been coming on this job. He said, I have been blessed here in the Bible studies. And God has restored me. I didn't have to have a Bible study at noontime. I was as busy as everybody else. Priorities. We must determine priorities. And then there's a place of wood in our lives. The multitude of things that we have to do. If you live to be 100, you'll never get everything done. There's so many things to do. But out of it all, we can say with the Apostle Paul, this one thing I do, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Beloved, we not only have to determine priorities, we have to develop abilities in the work of God. These men, Bezaleel and Aholiab, had never seen a tabernacle. All they had was word of mouth. Now you think it through. They had no blueprint. You're going to be building soon, but I'll guarantee you, you're going to have a blueprint before you start. These men had no blueprint. All they had was word of mouth. We then, as workers together with God, you haven't seen God. I haven't seen God. All we have is the word of God, and faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. When Bezaleel and Aholiab were finished, the glory of God filled the building. And Moses couldn't enter in. And beloved, when you get involved in a soul and see that soul saved by God's grace, what happens? The glory of God fills the building. The Spirit of God indwells that person. That person becomes a child of God. And that's where God dwells. What? Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You are bought with a price. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And if we're going to be workers together with God, if we're going to be building for God, oh, to determine priorities, oh, to develop abilities in telling the gospel, in proclaiming the message of divine grace. May we so work, friends, that when the building's finished, the glory of God fills it, and God's presence is there. In this age, God indwells believers. Know ye not that we are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in us? Oh, may God enable us to determine priorities and to develop abilities, because He has sovereignly called us if we're saved by grace, and He has suitably fitted us to tell the message. That don't mean that you have to get up on a platform and preach. That means you can sit with somebody at work. It's like someone said, do you know, it's such a terrible thing, I'm the only Christian in my whole department. Isn't that awful? That's a blessing. That's a blessing. God put you there to be salt and light and to be a builder for Him. You see, someone says you can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. You can feed him salt and get him thirsty. We then, as workers together with God, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Oh, may God enable us to determine priorities and develop abilities and so present Christ that the glory of God may be manifested in His work in lives for His name's sake. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now that you will take this word, search our hearts, send us forth. May we build for thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen.